Your names?
Judy Alter.
Sally Castleman.
And you're with the Election Defense Alliance, and we're here at the National Conference for Media Reform. It's not immediately obvious why you would be at a media reform conference, but explain about your organization and what brings you here today.
Okay, well, we're a national organization. I thank you for interviewing us. Our mission has to do with our elections becoming transparent so that there's some accountability for the results. At the present time, something like 97 or 98% of our votes are counted by machine, which means we're not only having a secret vote, but we're also having a secret vote count. There's no citizen oversight for machine counting. And we think that that doesn't really belong in a democracy.
I'm on the coordinating committee and original of EDA, and I found them by starting Protect California Ballots. When Schwarzenegger supposedly defeated Davis in a recall, I learned that only in the counties where illegally used software by Diebold is where he won. And there was an undercount as well, you know, an undervote where 9% of the voters decided they didn't want to vote in the recall questions, which is impossible. In the only part of thing that was on the ballot was the recall. So I've been working ever since in California, and I network with all the groups across the country. And we all want hand-counted paper ballots counted at the precinct on election night with oversight. You can video and make a record. Secret vote counting doesn't allow us to have democratic elections. And so we're desperate. I am.
Thanks, Judy Alter.
The reason we're here at the media conference is because a huge part of the population is not the slightest bit aware of this issue because the media has essentially refused to cover it. The mainstream media has not touched the issue of electronic fraud in our elections, which is rampant across the country. And we feel that they're really, sorry, I forgot the word I'm looking for. It's not collusive, it's what's the word?
Not derelict.
No,
not fair.
Complicit?
Thank you. And we feel that the media is actually complicit in this.
In 2005, McChesney opened the Media Reform Conference in St. Louis in May by identifying media reform, clean money, and election integrity as the basis of our democracy, a three-legged stool, he said. I went there because I thought it was freepress.org, which is the Ohio group, that was part of the recount for 2004. So I learned that this whole media group recognizes the need for election integrity, accurately counted votes. But since then, fewer and fewer people, either they don't cover it or their editors won't publish. So we have a lot of independent books and DVDs and articles with smaller groups that will cover over and over, but we haven't broken through.
And you're not talking about voter fraud, which gets a lot of media coverage. You're talking about election fraud. Can you explain the difference?
Right. The people who are probably behind the perpetration of all this electronic fraud use a smokescreen of that there is voter fraud going on, meaning voters are trying to vote twice or they're not really registered, they're illegal aliens and they're trying to vote, or they're dead people who someone else is voting in their name. And that's called voter fraud. And the party line is that there's so much voter fraud going on that we need very strong voter ID laws so that voters have to show all kinds of identification when they go to vote. And what this really does is it disenfranchises the elderly, the poor, people of color, and students. A lot of them don't drive. A lot of them don't have easy access to getting IDs. And what those groups are, generally, is groups that vote tend to vote Democratic. And so this is another way of disenfranchising them by pointing to what they're calling all this voter fraud. And in fact, I don't know, Judy, do you know 12, the statistics?
About 12 people in the last 32 years had been actually found. They weren't convicted of voter fraud, and most of them it was an accident. But Ann Coulter voted twice. And a couple of these, the Secretary of State in Colorado voted twice. So these two famous people have committed voter fraud. But that's one vote or 12 votes. That isn't wholesale shifting of the totals so that the bad guy wins, or the one who isn't exit polled to win, or an initiative loses that is exit polled to win.
Or that isn't really honestly elected.
Right,
a candidate is declared the winner who wasn't really voted the winner.
That's election fraud. And that's Bev Harris of Black Box Voting describes the difference as wholesale or retail. When they've talked about Kennedy winning in Illinois, if that was a precinct...
You're talking about 1960.
In the 60s, right. If that was one precinct reporting late and adjusting their numbers, and it's still not accurate. We're not sure if that's really myth or not. But that's retail, although it may have or may not have created the winner of the president. But that isn't a whole state the way Ohio was flipped or Florida was flipped. Or
Ohio 2004, you're talking, and Florida in the year 2000.
Right, right.
The thing is with electronics, one person can change the outcome of an entire state and not even leave a trace.
Right.
And that's just an enormous blight on our country.
We end up talking about computers, and I was about to say the programming in the scanners that are at the precinct level or the ward level. Then you have tabulators that add up the totals of the precincts. That's at the county level. And then you have tabulation of the totals from the totals. And this is all addition. So none of it should be proprietary, and all the software is called proprietary. What the question has become is that we talk about electronic software and programming and all this detail when we really are, it's a smokescreen or a shell game away from democracy. We need our votes accurately counted, and you count in public and you add the numbers. So we shouldn't be talking about computers at all. We should be talking about just counting the votes. And you can do that on Blackboard or an adding machine with no program. So it's diverting us from what's going on.
It's also taking our rights away. I mean, our election should be by, for, and of the people. And there's no way the people have any control or oversight. And it's the same thing with election workers and actually even election commissioners. There's a lawsuit in New York State right now by a county saying we can't fulfill our constitutional duty as election officials because we have no way to validate that the totals given to us by a machine are accurate.
One of the election, it was the county. She said, I'm going to hand count the whole thing. I can't trust this machine.
And I would also like to point out that hand counting is not done by one little person sitting in a corner. Hand counting means you have representatives of all the parties on the ticket watching. Two of them may be counting, and three of them might be watching, or vice versa. But you have more than one set of eyes on every ballot. So counting by hand is not a solo operation. And it's also not as cumbersome as people make it out to be. There are many, many, many democracies in the world that still count their ballots by hand because that's how it's been done over the centuries.
Does election fraud, do you have anything?
I was going to give too much detail. Go ahead, ask your question.
Does election fraud impact Democrats and Republicans equally?
When Jonathan Simon, who was here, who's one of the co-founders of Election Defense Alliance, whose analyses of exit polls over the years since 2004 is brilliant, he's identified absolutely that it's always a redshift. So it doesn't favor equal. If it were really statistically accurate, it would be random, which means you'd have some Dems and some Republicans, and this is all a redshift, continuous redshift. And any of the initiatives, we keep losing our rights and that in the democracy. So, no, it's very, very dangerously unbalanced.
You have anything you want to add?
Yeah. I mean, some people believe that it's not that the Democrats are so pure, but they don't really have access to the machines and the programming. The machines are, by and large, built, owned, maintained, programmed, in most cases run by, and also perhaps manipulated by the companies that build them, and those are owned by right-wing neocons. They will tell you that they're right-wing and that they're neocons and that they will let you know what their agenda is. These companies aren't owned by self-respecting Republicans. So the people who have control of the elections are, by and large, these people with a very clear right-wing agenda. And that's why, at the moment, that's the way the shifts go.
The significance of what you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, if, you know, at election time, unions and progressives spend a huge amount of time, effort, and money getting votes out.
Right.
But if the votes are not then counted
accurately,
right. This seems to be an issue that should be on the radar of, you know, every progressive effort.
When I got very worried about the election on April 5th in Wisconsin for the Supreme Court judge, I started reaching I contacted 8 union leaders of various unions across Wisconsin. And then I reached Sheila Cochran in the Milwaukee Labor Council. And she said, we do all this observing during the day, and we never question the count. And I said, never question the count. And then she thought some more, and she said, well, I've seen some funny numbers, such as in small elections, 95% turnout. I said, funny numbers. And then she was sort of stunned that she didn't question the count. She didn't question the count. So I was saying to them, you know, get your observers out, watch the closing of the polls, check just even right now, because we can't, there are some hand count counties in Wisconsin, but the poll tape has to be printed out. Just look at the total ballots cast on that. Look at the number of the total ballots cast that's on the screen before they turn it off. Those scanners have computer screens. And then hang out to see what the roster count is of the signatures on the roster book. And see if, though you have 3 numbers that match. That's not hard. It won't take them very long. It was a small election. But they never even thought of that. And then we learned that in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, they don't even bother to even count the roster book. They close it down. And the way they can control it or uncontrol it, is they modem in. They send the results by modem to their county headquarters. Now, that's even more insecure, and some states don't allow legally modem transmission of elections because anybody can intercept them. So there's very troubling in Wisconsin that we've just discovered, and we're going to go after it. We're going to try to get it recounted.
This morning on Democracy Now!, we're coming to the end of the first day of the National Conference for Media Reform here in Boston. It was started this morning with a live broadcast of Democracy Now!, and John Nichols was on, the reporter, and he's from Wisconsin. And he was talking about the election you're talking about, the Joanne Kloppenburg, who is challenging Justice David Prosser. And he said, until 2 days after the election, it looked like...
she was winning by 204.
And until 2 days after the election, when a former aide to David Prosser and a former political aide and ally in the legislature to Scott Walker, who is the controversial governor who's put forward these anti-union bills, this person is now the county clerk of the most Republican county in the state. She looked at her personal computer and found that As the county clerk of the county, she had forgotten to count the votes of the second largest city in the county, and it happens that the votes from that city provided precisely the number of votes for David Prosser to avoid a recount. Some Wisconsinites are asking questions. That was from John Nichols this morning on Democracy Now! So this woman on her personal computer all of a sudden finds the precise amount of votes that will not trigger a recount from this uprising, this woman, Klappenberg, who seems to have defeated Prosser, and all of a sudden they're saying, no, don't worry about this. The Republicans, in fact, won.
There was a large undervote in some of the counties, too.
Which means that people's votes weren't recorded. And there are a lot of ways to manipulate the vote. And I'm sorry to say that those of us sitting here who've been working in the Election Defense Alliance, who've been working on this issue for more than 6 years now, we are not surprised by these things. And it's really upsetting that we see these things over and over and they're not questioned. And the media takes these numbers and reports them like they're fact with no investigation. And no raised eyebrows. And maybe this time it will be looked into.
Is there anything else either you two want to add?
Well, thank you for covering this. And we got to get more people understanding this is dangerous and that our elections are so inaccurately counted that we believe we have a democracy. And those of us in this movement don't think we really do if so many people are supposedly elected and they're not.
Yeah, and we wish more of the media would really investigate and report and make the public aware, because we know that if enough people were aware of this issue, it would not remain as it is.
I said one more thought. I'm a local journalist in Washington, D.C., and the Board of Elections and Ethics in D.C. said that they had internet voting that anyone could try and hack, and it was so safe and secure.
Right.
And this individual, Halderman, a professor from Michigan, within 24 hours had put the Michigan fight song hacked into the computers and taken it over, and he came and testified. And what he testified before Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Chase, Committee on Government Operations and the Environment, there is no such thing as secure internet voting. Anything can be hacked.
And not only that, but he found, and this is really, really significant, while he was in there in those 24 hours hacking in, he discovered that there were two foreign governments also hacking in. And we know that a lot of sites that are supposedly very secure, both government sites and Fortune 100 companies that put millions of dollars into their security systems, have been hacked into. So why, I think it was China that hacked into Google. I mean, why do we think that our elections are safe when they're so electronic, and especially internet voting? I mean, it's a no-brainer.
One of the Secretary of State's hearings in California was about supposedly this word security. And for lay people, that means that it's protected so that there are firewalls. So anybody trying to penetrate and get the data can't get in. And one of the people in the audience asked directly our Assistant Secretary of State in California, is there security, any security for elections, for election programming and counting? And he was quiet. Then he said, no. When banks and the military spend millions of dollars and airlines have to test, right, so that their computer programs work, they spend millions. And the election community, or the people who got us to do this computer counting, said, oh, the election officials, your clerks and your registrars, they will take care of it. So it's unnecessary. We don't need any security. That's a false assumption.
Thank you, guys. I hope that some reporters and others will...
More reporters
will take a listen and help spread the word. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank
this
you
was very
much.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.